This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The first executive director of what is now the Citizens Research Council of Michigan said that the right to criticize government is also an obligation to know what you are talking about. 100 years after Lent Upson assumed leadership of what was then called the Detroit Bureau of Government Research, the Citizens Research Council continues its work as a nonpartisan public policy organization. A new book is now available through the organization's website about its first 100 years. Eric Lufer is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So let's first of all talk about the time in which the CRC came into existence. It was known as the Progressive Era. Is it important to know that this is when what is now the Citizens Research Council was born?
I think it is. There's been organizations like ours created since, so it wasn't a monopoly on doing this type of thing. But you think back in history, both with government and with industry, what was going on at that time. In industry, we know that people like Henry Ford were leading industry to try to find improvements in the production of goods and a better way to invent a mousetrap, whatever their industry was. And on the world of government, we were doing a couple of things. We were moving from agriculture to cities, Detroit and a lot of other cities that we know today to be our bigger cities. We're just expanding exponentially in population. So they were grappling with how to provide services. We know we had a lot of poor communities, both with immigration and otherwise, that sort of the social movement for how do we help these people to get the services they need and improve their life. And people were moving away from the idea that government should be led by patronage and in a spoil system where people elected to office should appoint their cousin and uncle, even though they had no ability to provide the services. They had no familiarity with building roads or running a elections department or anything like that. So those things all kind of came together at the same point, a confluence that said, let's find ways of doing this and a citizen-led analysis of government services and government organization can help us get to that point.
How has the Citizens Research Council maintained independence over the years from, say, government agencies or from political parties? How do you construct the firewalls so that you can keep research out of the hands of someone who might want to manipulate it for their own purposes?
That is an ongoing process that we pay attention to every single day of our operations. It starts with having a board of directors who all, to varying levels, they all have political interest. None of them are sitting on the sidelines, but there's a sort of firewall, as you suggest, between their governance of us and our operations, that they hire me and I hire the staff. We have discussions about the research projects, but once those projects are decided on, they have no control over the work that's being done. They don't see the finished product until anybody else is seeing the finished product. We worry about the perception on how some of our projects are being funded. If anybody has an interest in the outcome of the project, we're likely not interested in taking that funding, that we'll either do the work out of our own general operations or we'll find a disinterested foundation or disinterested party that could help us to fund the project. To worry about that sort of perception, it requires vigilance and reviewing the papers to make sure that bias, either intentional or unintentional by any of our researchers, is not being reflected through the research. And sometimes that doesn't make for the most interesting reading because we're not going to get very flamboyant or animated with our discussion of the issues, but we're sticking to the facts and we're sticking to our independence, and our research is better for that, I think.
Let me go through a few highlights of the Citizens Research Council's history. 1921 was the first time that the organization examined ballot issues. And people like me, often the first place we turn when there is a ballot issue is now to the Citizens Research Council to see what sort of analysis you have done. When you look back on that, 95 years ago now, does that seem like maybe a key point in history that the organization was taking a look at ballot issues and trying to distill out what the very basic facts were that people should know before they cast a vote on it?
Yeah, it's really, as you suggest, that there are some people who know us solely because we've done these analyses of ballot issues. So in terms of growing our brand, in terms of raising awareness of the people, this has been very important for us from a very sort of selfish point of view. But on a bigger perspective, when you look at it, Michigan is one of less than half the states that have the initiative and referendum. People in Michigan are being asked what they think about certain public policies. In these cases, the legislative role has been moved from a body of elected officials in Lansing down to the people, or the people have reserved that right to themselves, and they're cast in the role of making public policy. And you wouldn't go out and buy a car without researching it, the miles per gallon or the safety standards, and you wouldn't enter a contract without reading through it and understanding it. So the Citizens Research Council tries to serve that role on these ballot issues. What is it you're voting on? How would government be affected by it if we're talking about tax limitations or organization of government, something like that? And just as significant, how will the people themselves be affected by it? We know in this day and age you get the sort of 30-second soundbite on TV, people opposing or proposing that you vote one way or another. And we're trying to weed through all that to get to the facts, to understand what's really going on. In this case, you don't have a House or Senate fiscal agency doing that for everyone. The media tries to help with that, but some media has some bias in that. They're going to weigh in one way or the other. And so the Citizens Research Council, again, tries to be that independent body that people can look to find the facts and get to the bottom line.
The current Michigan Constitution was approved in 1962. What sort of role did the Citizens Research Council play in sort of spelling out for people what changes in the Constitution, what articles, what sort of things might be the best way to move the state forward?
Just when we look back over our 100 years, independently, we've come to the same conclusion that this was our greatest accomplishment, the thing that we can really hang our hat on, that we've made a difference over these 100 years. That the Citizens Research Council, when it started operations and started looking at the state government, played a very important role in moving the state away from, there were over 100 different departments. None of them, they all answered to the governor, and none of them did to have that big of a scope of overview was just overwhelming for anyone. So we had a number of studies leading up to the 1960s that showed the problems with the 1908 Constitution and how to work in a modern society. We needed to improve those types of things. When the Constitutional Convention was finally called in the 1960s, not only did we have those papers on hand to help the delegates understand these issues, but we put together a two-volume set that looked at every article in the 1908 Constitution, analyzed how well it had been working, looked at other states and whether they had similar provisions in their Constitution, and performed a number of studies for the delegates on each individual issue, so that each delegate had that independent, nonpartisan analysis to understand what the issues were and to help formulate policies for the 1963 Constitution that was adopted that improved things dramatically from what we had then. And once that document was drafted and there was a time then to circulate it to help the people understand what they would be voting on in 1963, the Citizens Research Council circulated throughout the state, and it was estimated that our representatives got to about 10% of the population, which is kind of remarkable to you know, in the day before we had the communications that we have today, that they could go out and do this on a per-person basis, talking to groups and reaching out to them. So before the Constitution, during the Constitutional Convention, and the period between then, very important in helping the delegates, helping the people understand what was going on. And to this day, we kind of continue to monitor the Constitution, continue to monitor how well it's working to serve the people. And we have this provision in the Constitution that every 16 years, the people are going to be asked whether another constitutional convention is in order to look at it. And so we continue to do those sort of analysis to look at each article of the Constitution and dig into that so we can make informed decisions on how well it is serving us.
In 1966, there was a study about the possible consolidation of the city of Battle Creek and Battle Creek Township that eventually happened, but not till 1981. The CRC, in this book, it says that you kind of got away from doing these types of things, which were kind of, you know, very locally focused and wanted to do more sort of statewide analysis. Did it just become a situation where you had to pick and choose the sort of things that you had the time and resources to do?
You know, we've always been a fairly small organization. Today we have 4 full-time researchers. And while sometimes our work is a little too scattershot and people don't quite understand what's going on, we try to deal with state issues, with education issues, with local government. And today we're focused heavily on healthcare issues. So to have 4 full-time researchers and try to make an impact on sort of the global policies that's going on throughout the state, it's sometimes we got too focused, too narrowed in on any one single unit of government. So we've pulled back from that, but not completely pulled back. We did that study in the 1960s and helped Battle Creek move forward. Just a couple years ago, we were over in Saugatuck and Douglas doing the same sort of analysis of what the 2 units of government are doing independently, what they're doing collectively, and what would a new city look like if they did consolidate into a single unit of government. Ultimately, that question was defeated, and they decided to remain independent units of government. But I bring it up to, you know, show that we are looking at big picture issues, but issues like that that are affecting independent units of government, we still get in there once in a while and try to figure out how we can improve Michigan by improving the local structure. And many people have commented that maybe we just have too much local unit of government in Michigan, and this is only going to be done at one at a time. So we try to bring our independent voice to help the people understand those issues.
So you mentioned that healthcare, finances, and policy right now is a big area of focus for the Citizens Research Council. Do you see other issues on the horizon that you think may be taking up more of your time and efforts in the next few years, and that you think may become the sort of things that the Citizens Research Council really feels that they have to inform the public about?
I think our infrastructure is the big issue that we're really going to have to address going forward. And it's not for lack of having done that in the past, but I think there's a real opportunity now. I think there's that opportunity now for a few reasons, that we have finally gotten our legislature to do something about road funding, but they did it in such a deferred manner, in inadequate manner, that we're going to still have problems with our road quality, not enough funding to keep up with the pace of deterioration. And that's the infrastructure we can see. We know from Flint, the infrastructure that we cannot see maybe we'll have a greater detriment on our well-being as a state than the roads or issues like that. So we intend over the next couple of years to dig into the infrastructure issues and start looking at how we're funding our infrastructure, the level of adequacy of that funding, what are the consequences of not doing that, and what communities are being hurt by that. We know, again, thinking about Flint, that the wealth of the community and the not having the resources to keep the infrastructure updated has had some consequence on on what they're going through today. So kind of asking the question whether that's playing true in other parts of the state. We try to, when we picked healthcare, when we're thinking about infrastructure, to think about what are the big issues that are going to affect the state and how do we get ahead of those issues to help people understand what it is and make decisions. There are, of course, many, many issues affecting the state, but try to be forward-thinking in identifying those.
Eric Lufer, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun putting this book together, and we hope that people interested in state and local government will come find it on our website.
Eric Lufer is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. You can find that new book telling the history of the public policy organization and details about its 100th anniversary at crcmich.org. There's also a link at our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.